Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thanks for tuning in. First on our busy docket, number one, is Fotos Doulos dead? Maybe. Next on the docket, the DOJ is upset with FOJs. Nurse Crystal Lee Kenny gets sentenced. She's not going to like it. Next on the docket, Aaron Hernandez and the Netflix series A Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, and our dumb criminal contestants of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and if you have not already done so, please subscribe, hit that little subscribe button, hit that little bell so you receive notifications of when we put out new content or we go live, and leave us a comment. And boy, do we have a busy docket today. First, is Fotos Doulos dead? Well, maybe. It was reported that Fotos Doulos had court today for a hearing regarding his bond. As you may recall, he was ultimately charged a few weeks ago with the murder of his wife, and bail was set at $6 million. For those of you who don't know how bail works, if you are charged with something, you have to be given a cash, property, or surety bond in most serious cases. And here, he could post $6 million cash, post $6 million in property, or he can go through a surety, an insurance company, a bondsman. And that bondsman will take a percentage of the overall bond, but they have to have sufficient collateral. So if the defendant doesn't show up, they can sell the collateral and pay the court the money that they are entitled to for one's failure to appear. Well, apparently Mr. Doulos didn't show up for his court appearance today. So the police run on over to his house, and guess what? They find him, what they believe to be, attempting a suicide. Mixed reports by the time that we have this episode going out. Initially, it was that Mr. Fotos Doulos was deceased, and now Mr. Doulos' attorney, Norm Pattis, was saying that Fotos Doulos had a weak pulse and was being taken to the hospital. So we will have to wait and see, and we'll update you tomorrow whether Fotos Doulos is in fact dead or not. Now, what makes this really interesting is if Mr. Fotos Doulos is in fact deceased, I wonder if he left a suicide note saying that he's the one responsible for killing his wife, Jennifer Doulos, and that his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, Ms. Traconis, and his former attorney and personal friend, Kent Mahinney, can get completely cleared. Somehow, I'm guessing that he didn't. But let's talk about if Mr. Fotos Doulos is in fact not dead. Well, he didn't show up for his bond hearing, and the surety company was concerned about the collateral was provided, i.e., not sufficient in value to secure it. And more than likely, if they were not released off of the bond, they will be now. And Mr. Fotos Doulos would be remaining in custody. Even if, let's say, for example, he has brain damage or something along those lines, the DA would still have then to decide whether they're going to go forward. Obviously, it's not an issue if he recovers completely, but he'll more than likely remain in custody. And let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, attempted suicide or successful suicide is the ultimate consciousness of guilt scenario. Innocent people do not go around killing themselves when they're facing these types of criminal charges. I've had this situation before where people don't show up for court. And obviously you think of, you know, you hope to God it's not the worst kind of scenario, but I have had at least three clients over my 25 years of practice ultimately take their own life. It's a tragedy. No one really prevails and justice is not done. We will let you know if Fotos Doulos is dead or alive. Next on the docket, the DOJ is upset with the FOJs. That's right. The Department of Justice is upset with the friends of Jeffrey Epstein. Specifically, the friend of Jeffrey Epstein is, in fact, Prince Andrew. Now, Prince Andrew is basically relieved of his official duties because let's face it, he has put himself in a compromising situation by flying around with Mr. Jeffrey Epstein on his Lolita Express and visiting his various islands of ill repute, perhaps. So it doesn't look good for the prince. But the prince made some very poor statements, and he looked terrible in his interview he did a couple of weeks ago, but he said he would ultimately cooperate completely with the Department of Justice in their investigations. Now, as an attorney, I never would have made such a statement for a client in regards to that. In fact, you never, ever commit to anything like that. So he was getting poor advice. The problem was he was probably taking advice from a PR rep and not a legal advice or opinion from an attorney, specifically a criminal attorney, because he may have potential issues. The question, does he have some sort of diplomatic immunity or not? I don't know. But why risk it? Okay. I still think this is what I do. All right. I am, yes, I am an attorney. I'm a criminal defense attorney, but I am in the crisis management business, okay? We deal with people's crises every day. Their whole world is being turned upside down. And I don't care if you're a prince, you're a corporation, or just an everyday individual, something happens and you're being accused of a crime, it is a crisis. And that's what attorneys do. But what if these big corporations, what does this prince do? They listen to a bunch of PR people and they completely destroy their defense, and they look bad from the beginning. And I assure you, there's nothing wrong with saying we're not going to cooperate, because guess what? One, it'll never come into court, right? You can't bring in a defendant's silence in any way. That would be a complete mistrial. And I'm not really concerned about the court of public opinion if you are in fact charged. The only thing that matters are those 12 jurors that are going to be making that decision anyway. So what does it matter? And guess what? I've represented lots of police officers over the years, okay? And what's the first thing they do? They lawyer up and they shut their mouth. So if the people that suddenly are the hunters become the hunted, shut up, why wouldn't it be good enough for you? Now, next, Crystal Lee Kenny. For those of you who do not know, Crystal Lee Kenny was the nurse from Idaho who was dating Patrick Frazee. Patrick Frazee was convicted in December for the murder of the mother of his child, Kelsey Barrett. The case more than likely would not have been solved, and Mr. Patrick Frazee would not have been convicted but for Crystal Lee Kenny's testimony. Crystal Lee Kenny said that, yes, she personally was going to go kill Kelsey Barrett on at least three occasions, and she backed out. Ultimately, she received a call from Patrick Frazee stating that he had, in fact, killed Kelsey Barrett, and that she was then to come out and help clean up the mess, and ultimately was there to testify as to the burning of the body on the Frazee Ranch. And ultimately, Kelsey Barrett's body was never found, but there's a presumption, and obviously the jury's concluded that she is, in fact, dead. Well, a lot of people were offended by Crystal Lee Kenny's plea bargain that was made because the district attorney kind of gave away the ranch, all right? And they gave her a Class 6 felony, basically tampering with evidence. It's the lowest class felony that we have here in the state of Colorado. The presumptive range, if one did not get probation or community corrections, which is a halfway house, the presumptive sentence is 12 to 18 months. Well, Crystal Lee Kenny apparently did not impress the judge nor the district attorney. Now, part of Crystal Lee Kenny's plea bargain was that the district attorney could argue for aggravation. And what that means is the sentence could go as high as 3 years in the Colorado Department of Corrections. And guess what? The judge gave 3 years in the Colorado Department of Corrections plus a 1 year mandatory period of parole, which is a period of supervision after Ms. Kenny will be released from prison. If Ms. Kenny does not successfully complete parole, she can be sent back to the Department of Corrections if she were to violate that. All things considered, based upon what she said she was going to do and what she participated in, even her testifying against Patrick Frazee, she still got off light. She should be thanking her attorney for the deal that she received, because she should have received a lot more time. I think one could have made a very good argument, had they had a body, that there was a conspiracy between Patrick Frazee and Crystal Lee Kenny for that murder, and obviously she could have been charged with first-degree murder. She got a gift. Her attorney, Drew Nielsen, very skilled attorney, very, very good attorney, and did great lawyering to get her that result. Everyone else may not agree, but that was a good result for Miss Kenny, given the circumstances. You know, she's a mother, she's a nurse. You know, I'm sure, obviously, her kids probably are not going to be coming to the Department of Corrections to see her. And she certainly will not be a nurse upon her release, because most nursing boards aren't going to allow a convicted felon to hold that license. Next on the docket, let's talk about Aaron Hernandez. Now, I had mentioned last week I was down at the National Trial Lawyers Conference down in Miami Beach, and one of the speakers was Jose Baez. I had met Mr. Baez years ago. Now, I'm not saying we're even acquaintances or friends, but it was very small settings, and we were able to interact. So once I heard Jose Baez speak, who was the attorney for Mr. Hernandez, I was interested in the Netflix series Killer Inside: The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. And for those of you who do not know, Aaron Hernandez was a very good football player. His father was a very prominent football player in college. And basically, everybody thought that this kid was going to the pros, and certainly he did. He played football in Florida, and he ultimately had some issues down there. Teams were a little hesitant to sign him because of his issues that he had, but ultimately the New England Patriots sign him, and he becomes a hero of Boston. Now, the series examines the murder that Aaron Hernandez was convicted of, specifically the murder of Odin Lloyd's 2013 killing, as well as the 2012 double shooting in Boston, where Aaron Hernandez was charged once again with first-degree murder. Now, the series doesn't offer a whole lot of new revelations about the case, but what it does do is it delves into really the double life, and basically it kind of shows how damaged everybody can be, regardless of where they come from and how much they want to make it look like everything is actually perfect. So as I stated, Hernandez was arrested for first-degree murder in connection with Odin Lloyd's slaying on June 26th of 2013, and Mr. Lloyd's body was found near Hernandez's mansion in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. In April of 2015, Hernandez was found guilty of first-degree murder and was sentenced to life without parole. 2 years later, he was acquitted of the double homicide charges, but committed suicide in his jail cell just 5 days later. Now, the first trial, as it related to Odin Lloyd, this was not the case that Jose Baez participated in. In fact, the attorneys really had a inconsistent theory. At first, well, he didn't know, didn't do it, but then they ultimately concede he must have been there and that he was shocked to know what happened, but he wasn't the one that pulled the trigger. And, you know, your attorneys don't necessarily concede that you're at a crime scene in closing statements when that is not the position that you've taken throughout. Ultimately, the nightclub spilled drink case, that's the one that Jose Baez talked about. And in that particular case, it was alleged that Aaron Hernandez was at a nightclub and got so upset by an individual that spilled a drink on him that he basically waited around. And when these individuals left, he drove by and ultimately shot them. There was a snitch in the case, and Jose Baez, you know, for lack of a better term, destroyed him on cross-examination. But what was also important was the fact that Jose Baez went after things that were really not that significant at the scene, but they were made out to be much more significant, and it showed an overall lackadaisical pattern by the police, and that they were just really kind of taking care of the snitch. And, you know, it just showed that there was a whole lot of bias in this particular case. And then, and there were some huge evidentiary issues. The fact that the alleged car that Mr. Hernandez was supposedly driving in was at his cousin's apartment that had been parked there for basically a year and not driven. His cousin ultimately takes contempt charges when asked to testify about how, you know, things got to her house and in the garage. So, you know, she was completely devoted to him, as and she, you know, her health deteriorated based upon the fact that she had cancer during that time. Now, the documentary also examines Hernandez's relationship with what can be described as an abusive father who is a drinker. It's alleged that he abused their mother and that he had this homophobic mentality that, you know, he would never allow his sons to be gay. And there are witnesses, friends that came forward that said, hey, I had engaged in sexual acts with Aaron Hernandez as early as high school. There's allegations that there was sexual abuse by a cousin, and that basically he was going around trying to be Mr. Tough Macho Man, dealing with this struggle that he had about his homosexuality. There's a lot of jailhouse calls where specifically Aaron Hernandez, you know, yells at his mother, saying that basically she ruined his life. Shortly after his father dies of a routine surgery, his mother basically starts dating his cousin's husband. He moves in, a lot of resentment. She goes in and moves into the cousin's house. You know, it's kind of stuff that happens in families. But, you know, everybody tries to make it look like everything is, in fact, great and everything's fine. Ultimately, near the end of the documentary, Aaron Hernandez is acquitted of the double homicide case. And then he ultimately commits suicide just a few days later. And then that's where Jose Baez basically comes back in and says, hey, we need to examine the brain. We need to take a look and see if all these concussions that Aaron Hernandez has suffered over the years, basically playing football through, you know, Little League to high school and college and even his short professional career, how that would have affected it. And then they bring in this neuroscientist who looks at Aaron Hernandez's brain and compares that to basically a normal brain. And it shows that he's had a lot of trauma to his brain, which would or could potentially affect how he makes good decisions as it relates to thinking. And maybe it affected the way he acted or responded to situations where he could apparently go off. You know, and the whole double life thing, I've said this, and I keep going back to this, and I'm not sure why, but the 12 undeniable truths that I have said repeatedly, and hopefully we can put a link to that below, where it basically says everybody lives a double life. Everybody has a secret, okay? I don't care who you are, where you are, everybody has a secret that they are keeping from somebody. Aaron Hernandez has his beautiful mansion. He has his wife. He has a house he can do whatever he wants to do in, but yet he then rents this little apartment so he can go over there and meet his friends or smoke his dope. A lot of it just doesn't make sense. But really, if everyone were to examine everyone's life, everyone looks dysfunctional. That's the one thing that I learned about life as I have been a criminal defense attorney for years, okay? I thought only my family was the dysfunctional one, okay? Because everybody made everything look like everything's happy. What goes on in the house stays in the house. Then as a criminal defense attorney, I was like, oh my gosh, it wasn't just me. Everybody has a dysfunctional life. I don't care what lifestyle you come from, financial abilities, etc. There is always somebody. Everyone has a brother. Everybody has an uncle. Everybody has a cousin where there's something always going on. There's some deep secret. It's always going to be there. It just simply shows Aaron Hernandez, no matter how big and superstar he became, he still had issues. Okay. I think that's what ultimately comes from it. Was it that, you know, the traumatic brain injury? Was that it? Was it, you know, football star dealing with sexuality? No. I think what it really shows, the moral of the underlying story is everybody has issues and you have to look much, much deeper because everyone has a story. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And yesterday I completely forgot our dumb criminal. Completely my fault. I think I even mentioned it, but for some reason didn't do it. And because we are an international show, a worldwide show, we like to show that there are dumb criminals not just in the United States and predominantly Florida. I'm not exactly sure why that happens. But this case comes from Ontario, Canada. An Ontario teenager apparently has lost his mind, along with his money, in an unsuccessful attempt to get a fake ID. The provincial police stated that Norfolk County teen contacted them to say that he had sent an undisclosed amount of money to a complete stranger after seeing an ad for a fake ID on a social media site, and by God, he never received that fake ID. Now, our young teen, as far as we know, has not been charged with a crime yet, and the Ontario Provincial Police are trying to state that this is a good opportunity to use common sense and don't send money to complete strangers on the internet. Sometimes you don't know if you're ever going to get it. For example, people could send me money and I wouldn't send them a fake ID, but at least you'd know where to find me. All right. We don't hide where we're going to. And if you've ever noticed, like on Facebook, this is kind of my pet peeve. Have you ever noticed on Facebook that there's no customer service number that you can write to or call, right? Right. Why is that? Because you are not the customer. You are the product. Their customers, all the data that they sell about you, those are the ones that they can get a hold of at Facebook. Rather interesting, don't you think? I think so. Anyway, our next dumb criminal, and like I said, why do they seem to always come from Florida? Here, and understand, like everyone that we discuss on Crime Talk, they are given the presumption of innocence until they are convicted or plead guilty. Well, a Florida gym teacher is on administrative leave after, quote, farting in the general direction of a Pensacola high school junior earlier this week. David Allen Darden, 38, has taught at the school for nearly 15 years and has deliberately denied passing gas on 16-year-old Graham Britton's face during a routine wrestling demonstration session. Now, witnesses, for example, a fellow junior, Robin Minstrel, Mr. Darden is pretty rough on us all the time, and Granny, Graham Britton, is a real smartass. So I think Mr. Darden just wanted to teach him a lesson or something like that. The principal of Pensacola High, James Knight Nee, a 20-year veteran of the school, said his report to the police that Mr. Darden intentionally, quote, let one slip, end quote, as he pinned the young Britton to the gym mat. However, other witnesses say the 16-year-old repeatedly taunted the gym teacher in numerous ways, including making raspberry noises with his mouth. Students said that Grammy, Graham Britton, doesn't know when to stop. But when he told Mr. Darden that his wife smelt of edelberries, that's when he had it, according to the witness. At that point, according to witnesses in the police report, that's when Mr. Darden flipped this morning and he flipped the scrawny Britton onto his stomach and let one rip so loud that it echoed all around the newly renovated multi-purpose gymnasium. You could have heard a pin drop, according to senior Ariel Zoot, who watched in horror as Darden released his stench into the arena. It was certainly juicy and long, too. But it was the smell. I bet he was brewing that one up since last night, according to witnesses. Mr. Darden was released on bond and is expected to enter a plea next week. Now, clearly, you can't make this stuff up. And although not the dumb criminal contestant of the week, just not yet, they are both clearly in contention. Thank you for watching today. Let us know what you know about Fotos Doulos. Do you think he's going to leave that note clearing everybody of any wrongdoing? What should we do with the friends of Jeff? And Crystal Lee Kenny, she got the max. Do you think she should have got a lot more? And what do you think about Aaron Hernandez, or should anybody even care? Leave me a comment below. Thanks for letting us talk about it. Have a great day.